about love. I'm going to finish up the second part of this tonight because, but I just thought, you know, I feel like the Lord, I don't know, at what point, I'm not sure yet. I just feel like the Lord's, you know, even through testimony tonight, I feel a stir of faith in the house tonight. And I, you know, and I'm just reminded that you have to remain in a place where you allow the Lord to speak to you, to allow the Lord to minister to your spirit. And that's even what I feel tonight, that even tonight as testimony, the Bible says, we all know in Revelations, that by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, they overcome. So who are we overcoming? We're overcoming the enemy. We're overcoming sickness and disease. We're overcoming the attacks. Amen. And that's the thing. We as believers, we have to, you know, it's, I always say we have to, you know, we at this point have to take that authority. Amen. Where we're called to be, where we're called to go, we're called to take that authority. Amen. Amen. So, I want to get into this. I want to get into this passage tonight. I'm going to just, if you take your Bibles, go to Galatians chapter 5, because this is kind of where I left off last time. And take your Bibles, go to Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to pick up at verse 16 first. And one of the things too, just a quick announcement. We talked about in this house that we would be doing corporate fasting monthly, and I know we come out of a week-long fast, and rather than start at the beginning part of February, but depending upon your work schedule and things like that, we're going to take the first, whether it's full weekend or the first 3 days of the first week in fast. We'll share that in announcements. But we're going to have corporate fast every month. So whether you say, well, I work Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, if you want to join corporately in that time of fasting and prayer, that'll be, you know, for you, it might be a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You know, if your schedule's not a tedious schedule, maybe a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday is better. But we're going to take that first full weekend of every month and fast. We used to do that many years ago, and I felt as we were praying and fasting, this January, I felt like it was one of the things the Lord was quickening me in to do personally. So I will personally do that. You know, I'll say this about fasting. You know, you have to want to fast, and you have to desire to want to fast. And I believe that through fasting, there's a lot of things that get unlocked. And you know, Kenneth Hagin, later in his life, you know, he made the comment. He said, "There's not much that the 3-day fast can't fix." Or you can't get an answer for in a 3-day fast, and it's important that we as a church we're diligent, and so we'll just be presenting that before the body. If anybody needs educated on fasting, the types of fasts we fast, you know, we'll share that information with you. You may say, well, I can do a sun up till sundown, one meal a day kind of fast, or whatever that is. We'll make sure you have that information. If you've never fasted and want to fast, please ask. I mean, there's people here that know, many of the leaders in this house, they know how we fast and can instruct. Pastor Miranda and I are here available to answer questions as well. Tithe and offering, let's do that real quick. If you need a tithe and offering slip, raise your hand. If you need that, just lift your hand tonight. We'll make sure you get one. And we don't have the text to give up tonight, but there's three ways you can give. You can make out a check to KC. You can text to give, KC Fairmont 77977, if you're using text to give. And you can use an envelope to fill out credit or debit. And if you do that, make sure you write your information out on the envelope so our stewardship people can make sure they see your stuff real clearly. And I know, just so you all know, that at the end of roughly about this time, you guys should start seeing statements. We've got them already, so statements. We have gotten them, so everybody's gotten their statements. If you have questions about statements or anything like that around your giving, just let us know. But if you have any questions about that, and you know, that's why, like, you know, if you put cash, make sure your name's there. It's good to see. It's good to track what you give. I think it's important. You know, I always want to give more the previous year, so that's why I look at it. You know. So it's good to do that. So praise God. Let's pray over the offering. Father, I thank you tonight. I thank you for this house. I thank you, Lord, for, Lord, Lord, I thank you for the gift of faith, and Lord, even just the gift of giving that's upon this house, Father. That I pray that in 2024, Father, that you know, Lord, you're calling us to, you're calling even us as a church to a higher level, Father. And Father, I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, for even just the deposit, you know, out of this past year, that it was a year of elevation. But Father, I thank you that, Lord, we're breaking through, and Father, we're gonna thrive to be stronger and better in 2024 than ever before. So, Father, I thank you for releasing witty inventions, great ideas, business plans in people's minds, Father, that those things are just unfolding. And I thank you for a quick work, Lord, that even within these first few months of the year, Father, that your word would be released over them. And, Father, I thank you that, Lord, that you're causing your people to prosper in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So I told you to go to Galatians chapter 5 as the offering's going around. And Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. And you know, before I say that, you know, we're going to talk about love tonight. But I, you know, even out of, you know, it's like giving. I get to give. It's like learning to love. I get to love. And it's something that I have the opportunity to do. And, you know, in 1 Corinthians 13:1, you know, it says, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but not have love, I'm become a sounding brass or a clinging cymbal. And I know that. And we looked at the definition of love, you know, out of 1 Corinthians 4. You know, love suffers long. It is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And it goes on to say, love never fails. And so it's an important thing for every believer to understand that God does give us a definition of love. But please understand that every believer is called to a place of love. You know, honestly, I don't think that you could actually be a believer and not love. You know, because, you know, we have to understand that you know, so much we have to understand. Anyway, I'm not trying to jump ahead. But let's go ahead and look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. You know, because, and I said this a little bit last time, because we get a really skewed idea of what love is or the definition of love based upon how the world defines it. And we know from the TV shows we watch to social media platforms and all this stuff that we think we see in the world's eyes of what love is. But I tell you, Love is that 1 Corinthians 4. It's all of that in there. But love, you know, even in that love and long suffering, and love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It's not boastful. But, you know, see, love never fails. And I love that because, you know, there's nothing that I honestly believe that love can't fix. That love can't fix in the body of Christ, in marriages, true love. And I think so hard that we have to really look at the real definition of love. And it's, unfortunately, we're not seeing a real definition of love in the world. What you see in the world is, it's good to love yourself. It's good for you to be puffed up. It's good to love yourself. But that's contrary, so much of that is contrary to the life of Christ, and we see that. So Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so you do not do these things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Drop down to verse 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against there is no law. So we understand, we get a picture that what's taking place, even in a human being, is the warring between the soul and the spirit, or between the flesh, between the flesh, the man, the body, the physical man, the body. There's a war that takes place. And so it's important that we understand there is a war. There's a war. You know, have you ever felt like, you know, not doing something kind before? just a few of you. I have. Like, I felt like, I just don't want to do this. I you know, and it's not so much as maybe a kind gesture or something like that, but it's like your flesh is like, you know, it's like giving something away that you really like. I mean, I remember a time that I sewed a shotgun, and I tell you, it was hard. It was hard to give something away that meant something to me. I remember, you know, I was at a camp meeting one time, and I heard the preacher guy, the preacher man say, he said, you know, I want you to sew something that's valuable. And that night I was in that meeting, and I was like, you know, I could give $1,000 in the offering, and it doesn't mean anything. You know, that $1,000 is $1,000. Not that $1,000 doesn't mean something. It truly did mean something to me. But it was like all of a sudden the Lord got a hold of my heart, and he's like, you know, I want you to sew that shotgun. I don't want to sew that shotgun. You know, I was like, you know, but it was like, but Lord, I love you. Lord, I'm going to be obedient to the voice. I'm going to fall madly in love with you, even when the hard things, you know, happen. And I remember, you know, I brought that gun in, and I was just like, you know, I walked it over and I give it. I said, here, you know. And the guy looked at me and said, this is good. He said, you know, people sew guns sometimes, and I was just like, praise God. Never been fired. It was. You know, it was a great gun. It was a great gun. But I realized something, that was a demonstration. That was an example of how I was beginning to show God. God, I love you. I'll do. And can I tell you something though? What I talk about when you see this in Galatians, we have to learn to crucify our flesh so that we can learn to love like Jesus. So we can learn to say, you know what? Everything that I have belongs to you, Lord. Well, I'm going to keep a hold of this. Maybe not this. See, the Lord. See, He knows your heart. He knows your heart. Amen. So, you know, those wars will happen in life, and I'm going to tell you. You know, just go with God. Go with God when God speaks. When God releases something in you, go with Him. It was funny. I think it was a year or so later. We were in the same meeting. Same me. and it was, you know, sow something precious. And I'm thinking, well, I sowed something previous, the previous year, that something was precious. And, you know, and I was putting in the offering, and it was an offering that it meant something to me. And my wife, I'm telling a story on you now because you didn't know I was going to say this, but because, see, I want you to understand. See, there's the faithfulness and obedience in showing the Lord that you love Him. And my wife, I couldn't even, didn't even know what was going on. I looked over and she had tears in her eyes. And I'm like, what's wrong? This is an offering message. You know, usually we don't cry during offering messages, you know. And she had taken the envelope, and what she had done is she'd taken off her ring, and she'd put her ring in an envelope, and she didn't hand it to me when the offering bucket went by. She put it in the offering bucket because I would have said, what was that? And it wasn't until a couple days later that she said, you know, I felt like the Lord told me to sow something precious. And honestly, that was something that was very precious to us. And it's not that it was a $20,000 ring, but I wear the ring that when we left Maui, we went and bought rings for one another. So, you know, because we went to Lahaina, and, you know, for us it was something that, and honestly, it meant something because it was from Lahaina. You know, everybody knows about the fires and everything that's happened there, and I actually bought her another ring from Lahaina several years ago, and so it meant something to us because it was a sign or a token of the time that we had spent in Hawaii, and so it was something that was very dear to us. But I want to tell you, I want to tell you something. You can learn to crucify your flesh. You can learn to put things down. You can learn to put your flesh down. Amen. And you know what I love about even in this, and Brother Greg had mentioned it the other night. It was interesting. But when you think about the fruit of the Spirit, the first one's love. And then you'll see the continuation, because you know you need love to do the others. You need to operate in love to operate in joy. Because if you don't love, you're not going to operate in joy. If you're sad, depressed, you don't have an understanding of love, the very nature of love and who God is. It's going to be hard for you to operate in joy. It's going to be in these things. And Brother Greg made a comment. He's like, these are perpetual almost. You see, you got to do this to do this to do this to do this. And it's not, can I say something about the fruits of the Spirit? I'm working on them. I see these things, but I understand that these are things against these. There's no law. So I'm always working. I'm working on love. Anybody working on love in the house? Amen. Because see, that's the thing. I understand that's the nature that I'm being made to be like Christ. Amen. And so we work on this thing. We work on the fruits of the Spirit. Which against there's no law, so we're continually working, amen. We're continually moving. We're continually working in these areas, and so I want to keep moving here. I would say this that if believers, I'm talking to believers tonight. If you're not saved, I'm looking around. I believe everybody in here is saved tonight. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. You need to get your heart right with the Lord and be saved. It's so important that you're saved. But I would venture to say that. I don't think this is a hard statement, but there's some truth in it. I honestly believe that if Christians, I'm talking about Christians, not other groups or religions or anything like that, but if Christians understood love as Christ teaches love, I don't know that we would have so many issues going on in the world. I don't know that the world would look near the way that it looks. If we, as believers, exemplified Christ-like love. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, and it's a very short scripture. And just take your Bibles, go here real quick. I want to show you this in 1 Corinthians 11. Because, see, you see an example that Paul's given to the church. And you'll see this in 1 Corinthians 11, 1. It's a very short verse. You guys there? Amen. It says, intimidate me just as I also imitate Christ. So we understand that we're supposed to, Paul's using it as an example, that he's a godly example. And this was something that he was given Timothy. He said, Timothy, and we'll look at that scripture here in a second. Imitate me. Imitate me because I follow Christ. So, it's so important that we understand that God does bring. He'll bring, I see Dr. Morocco as an example that of a godly, he's a great hero of mine in the faith. But I want to look like him. Amen. It's not that I am Dr. Morocco. It's not that I want to look like him. You understand what I'm saying? But I want to imitate the things, the character. Who he is as a godly man, that God does that. He sets people before you so that you can look at, so that you can learn. And that's one of the things I love about Doctor. Doctor's always in a place where he's teaching. He's teaching others so others can model behavior. We were talking about it the other day, and as we talk about marriage this year and different things like that, Dr. Morocco, Brother Don got to see just some of the stuff that they've done with their staff, and he, him and Pastor Colleen got on stage and was talking about marriage, being married for how many ever years now, 50 some years, and it was just like it was really cool. It was really cool to hear, they're dealing with some of the same things I've dealt with, or they're talking and with practical things that how God worked and weaved into their marriage and different things. And so God does that, and you'll see this again in 1 Corinthians 4. Flip over there real quick. First Corinthians 4, verse 14. So it's important you understand that we're to imitate. We're to look like Christ. If we want to love and we want to move to a greater level of loving, God does give us examples. Amen. There are people that I watch or observe, but there's also the biblical example that we get, and that's Christ. That's Christ. 1 Corinthians 4:14. Look at this. It says, "I do not write these things to shame you, But as beloved children, I warn you, for though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the Gospels. Therefore I urge you, imitate me for the reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son of the Lord, who will remind you of the ways in Christ as I teach everyone, everywhere in every church. And so one of the important things about love that I want you to see here is that you have to be intentional. And I kind of started down this, but you have to be intentional with things in life. And I believe that it's that kind of a year where we as believers, we have to be intentional. We have to not only be focused, but we have to be intentional. Can I just even a few things that I realized after I was out the other day. I had a guy literally, he went off on me yesterday. And it was like, and all I could do was smile. All I could do was smile. You know, and it was like at the point where I was in a cross section and the guy didn't have a blinker on and he was coming this way. And I'm an edger. I don't know if anybody drives like that, but I kind of will drift through a stop sign sometimes. Nobody does that here, I'm sure. But I was kind of drifting out just a little bit, not very far. But the guy, like, he thought that I was going to go. My wife would have been like, see, look at her, she's already smiling. And so I was there, but I was way back at the intersection. The guy didn't have a blinker on. And next thing I know, the guy pulls in, and his car is like this close to my car. And he's, with every explicit that he had, he was, from gestures to the verbal cues, I understood them very well. He was mad. And finally, at the point that I was like, there's nothing I can do, I went like this, and all I did was smile. Because that's all I knew to do. But I want to say this because it's important that you understand. Now, did that guy think I was very loving? Probably not. You know, he drove away. I was like, and I prayed for the guy because, Lord, I don't want this guy to have a bad day. You know, because he's going to have a bad day. I I'm not mad at him, mutually, I felt like it was as much his problem as it was mine. I didn't feel like I was wrong, praise Jesus. So I didn't have my little helper in the car, praise God. I don't know if anybody has a little helper in the car, but and you're great. I love you. I love you. Amen. Amen. But you understand this. You have to be intentional. You have to be intentional. And what I mean by that, you don't realize how a smile might change someone. You don't realize how a kind gesture might change someone. You don't realize that just, just even being neighborly, with people, we don't realize the impact that we give people the opportunity to see Christ, to see the very nature of Christ in us just by a smile, just by a gesture. So it's important you understand that you live intentional as a believer. You know, you living that way as a believer is so important. I said it last time when I was on this subject. You know, living to love starts at home. You know, you can't just show up to church and high five and hug everybody, and it starts at home. So how you live your life outside of here, it matters. It matters. It matters. It matters how you live outside there. You live to love outside of there. It's easy to come in here and love. People greet you with a smile. They hug you. They welcome you. It's easy to love in here. You know, sometimes, it's just like, I got to go to church. You ever feel that? I feel that way, even as the pastor. Sometimes I just got to go to church. I've been out in the world. I just got to go to the house of God because I know that this atmosphere, I know what's been created. I know that there's love in the house. And I'm going to tell you, see, what happens even in that? See, you can have your tank filled up. Jesus will fill your tank up in a church setting. You can come in and you can be empty. You can need a deposit. And what happens? You hear the word. You get around people just like what Paul was saying. Imitate me. You get around the right people, and then you feel like, hey, I got some stuff back in me. Amen. I got love in me. I got gentleness. I got kindness. I got joy. Hallelujah. You can get joy in church. Hallelujah. You can get joy in the house of God. You can have that kind of deposit. But you have to be in, let me just go back to the intentionality because you have to be intentional to want and desire these things. God's not forcing himself on people. And that's one of the gravest mistakes we've made throughout the last 100 years. We're waiting on a move of God. I'm here. You're here. What's been done on the cross? The devil's defeated. He's defeated. Yes. So hallelujah. He's defeated. So be intentional. Amen. Be intentional. You know, And on a personal note, you know, I'm learning this, and I've had to learn this, and I work to be intentional with people. I work to be intentional with people in here. You know, it's an important thing for me. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, let's look at this scripture, and I may have covered a few of these, but I felt like they're worthwhile to go back and look at. 1 Corinthians 12:31, it says, but earnestly desire the best gift, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Love. Love. Love is the most excellent thing we can do. It's the most excellent thing you can do. Matthew 5, let's go there. I just wanted to show you that scripture. But earnestly desire the best gift, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. These are just great scriptures, even if you're taking notes or want to write in your book. I mean, just, you know, love, right? Right? You know, this is me, Lord. I'm loving. Matthew 5, 44, it says, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. You know, I was listening to somebody, I don't even know who it was, but, you know, a lot of times we have to, you know, a lot of times we want the blessing of the Lord, and I believe we should desire the blessing of the Lord. But, you know, when we're blessed from God, it's so that we can be a blessing. It's so that we can be a blessing. It does me no good as a believer to be fully blessed, fully walking in everything God wants me to walk in, and not be a blessing to others. Not be a blessing to others. So it's important to understand, does God want you blessed? Yes. Everybody say yes. See, God wants you blessed, but you have to understand it's so that you can, in return, be a blessing. So, you know, Lord, bless me so that I can be a blessing. That's a good prayer point. Amen. Bless me so that I can be a blessing. You know, not just bless me so that I'm blessed, right? No, bless me so that I can be a blessing to others. See, that's the thing. See, everything about Christ is always about others. It's always about putting your eyes on someone else. How you can have an impact. Amen. How you can have an impact there. Where was that? Yep, that's where I'm at. Gotcha. But he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brother only, what do you do more than others? Do not even tax collectors do so? So it's important to understand, you know, if we're just loving those people that are lovable and those people that love us back, that's, you know, this is what Christ is saying. So we have to, you know, you think about, you know, the Bible says, you know, we're to follow the steps of Christ, right? What about when Christ stopped? Do we follow Christ? Because you look at the points where Christ, you know, we're to follow his steps, right? You think about the times when he stopped to minister. Do we stop? So it's important that we walk the same way Christ walks, right? But we also should read the stories in the Bible where Christ stopped and he performed a miracle. He performed a sign. He performed a wonder. He opened blind eyes. He opened deaf ears. He fed the 5,000. Jesus stopped. And he did the work of the very things that the Lord was speaking to him. He did what the Father asked him to do. So it's important to understand, that's that whole intentionality, that we understand that being like Christ, loving like Christ, is not just walking, but stopping. stopping in a place where, you know, no, God can use me in this situation right here. God can turn this whole situation around. He can change an atmosphere. He can change an atmosphere because I'm here. Amen. Because I've stopped. I'm here. I'm ready to receive. I'm ready to listen. I'm ready to get my assignment, Lord. What's my assignment? So, you know, yeah, we're to follow hard after Christ. But, you know, listen, when there's the quickening to stop and be like Christ, stop. Stop and be like Christ. It's important that we love the way God teaches us to love. Amen. You know, love is one of the highest forms of spiritual warfare. You know what love does? It will melt a sinner's heart. Love will melt a sinner's heart. I'm telling you... You can be, somebody can give you their 12 reasons why they don't serve Jesus, or they can give you 125 ways why this religion is better than this. But see, love, when love gets involved, it crushes the lies of the enemy. It disarms the enemy. It disarms the, that's what love does. It disarms the enemy. You know, and will people get mad? Because yeah, people will get mad. Will demons manifest? Yeah, Brian, even on his way here. I mean, he was dealing with it. You know, all he had to say was, well, you know, I used to be a police officer. The guy's tone changed. You know, but you know, I know him because he said it in a loving way. But I know another side about Brian too. So, because that guy would have been on the ground, tackled. Probably put in some kind of restraint and choked out. Praise God. But see, that didn't happen. Why? Because love. Because love. Because love knows how to handle a situation. Love knows how to handle a situation. We love the way God loves. You know, I'll say this, you know, around love. It takes effort. It takes effort. To really love, to love like Christ, it takes effort. And that's, go back to that intentionality. It has to be intentional in a person's life. It has to be so intentional. Because it's going to take effort. It's going to take effort. You know, in moving towards closing, because I'm not going to be long here. You know, real love, true love, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. See, real love is going to cost you something. You know, I think about the Bible, and I think so many times when we think about the persecutions of the early apostles, and we think about the disciples, and we think about how they died as martyrs, or you know, what was the book that you used to have, Fox's Book of Martyrs, and you would read those stories, and you would like, how could one person love a nation, or how could one person love so deeply that they didn't care? It's not that they didn't care, but they had a desire to love God, to love God. I know Moran and I, when we were in Maui, we met a couple that was the tribe that in The End of the Spear, the movie. Has anybody seen that movie, The End of the Spear? My kids have probably multiple times. It wasn't okay, but anyway, you know, as an example, that you know, there were four guys that flew into the jungle in South America to go and take the gospel to a group of people, and literally within the first 10 minutes of landing, they were killed. And you know, they understood that being carriers of the gospel, that because these guys come at them with spears, and the only thing they did was they got on their knees and they were killed. They didn't try to defend themselves. And what it did was it allowed the gospel, it allowed there to be an opportunity for the gospel to come back to that tribe as a result of that. And, you know, even one of the, got the wife, yeah. Came back in, yeah. You know the story better. It's a great movie, but it wasn't End of the Spear. It wasn't the name of the movie. Oh, that's the name of the movie. So if you get a chance, watch it. It's a great movie. But see, real love's going to cost you something. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except me. Has anybody been persecuted because they made a decision to serve Christ? Has anybody ever mocked your faith because you chose to? Has anybody ever said, you know, you go to church this time, that time, that time. You're always in, you know. And see, that's verbal. That's verbal persecution, right? And see, what happens, though, once you begin to learn to love like Christ, see, verbal persecution, it just rolls. Because what God shows you, He shows you how to love. He shows you how to love. Well, you know, why would you leave? Why would you leave? Anybody that's left, you know, houses, or why would you leave? You know, I remember when we left, you don't love your mother. I mean, I heard that. And my mother raised me. I really love my mom. I really love my mom. I love my mother. You know? But that's you must not really love your mother. How could you leave? No, I love my mother. But see, when we begin to love like Christ, and we begin to put that on, that nature, Christ's nature, amen? Imitate me. When we begin to put that nature on and we look like Him, man, that stuff is, it's really minor. It's minor. But see, don't get tripped up in the arguments of it. Don't get tripped up in, don't take the bait, right? You know, John Bevere's book, you know, he talks about the bait of Satan. You know, don't take the bait. Don't take that bait. But love. Love. Love with a pure heart. Love like Christ's love. Love like Christ's love. You know, God brings vindication. It's not our, you know, a lot of times we just have to step away and let God do His thing. God will vindicate us. Amen. That's what He does. Let God do what God does. Amen. You know, and I'll say this in Galatians chapter 6, 7. You know, the Bible says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. So, if you lack love, or you feel like, man, I, that's not something, man, you got to make a deposit. You got to deposit that. Do you want that in your life? You make a deposit. I'm a firm believer in sowing and reaping. You want friends? You become a friend. Hey, amen. You want friends? You become a friend. It's a principle, right? So we unlock these things through the principles that God gives us. So whatever a man sows, he will also reap. You need love, so love. You need love, so love. First Corinthians 14:1. I'll close with this tonight. First Corinthians 14:1. Because, see, I believe this is the challenge. Well, Pastor, aren't we all loving? Aren't we all knowing? Aren't we doing this? Pastor, aren't we? Yeah, I this house is a very loving house. I'm thankful for that. But see, this is the thing that we can never stop doing. This is the one thing that we can never shrink away from. Because people need help. I said that earlier, right? I said, please understand that people need help. And God can use us. He can use us as a church in a community to impact a whole community. Anybody believe that in the house? So God can use us that way. But lastly, it's important you understand that this only happens as you pursue it. You have to pursue it. It's that principle of sowing and reaping, but you have to pursue it. You have to pursue it. To learn to love like Jesus, we examine the life of Christ. Amen? You know, when Christ washed His disciples' feet, that was a great demonstration of love, wasn't it? It was an opportunity for Him to say, no, I've come to serve. I've come to serve. Love is serving, right? Ultimately. You know, last night in a men's meeting, we finished up our last lesson in Champions, and I said, I told the guys, I said tonight, you know, I said, because it was really just one question, and, you know, where are you serving, and where would you like to serve? And so it was really just, that was the last question. And And in that last question, I said, you know, what I want to do is I want to go around the room. And I said, I want everybody to hear where you're serving. Because everybody that was sitting around the table was serving in some area or some capacity. And it was just really cool. It was cool to hear everybody talk about, you know, I serve in this area, or I serve in this area, and I serve in that area. And as a pastor, it brought me great joy. It brought me, you know, and my follow-up question was, where would you like to serve, or what would you like to do? And I know some guys left and was beginning to think, well, you know, I'll think about that, or, you know, I would like to do this, or I would like to do that. And I heard that from people. So that's what God, you know, when you love what God loves, which is people, and you find yourself in a place of serving, there's no greater joy. Because I'm telling you, you want to talk about a depression killer? Serve. You want to talk about how to kick the enemy out of your mind? Serve. Because you know, when you begin to put others in front of yourself and you begin to love like Christ, everything shifts. Everything shifts. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says this is pursue love. Pursue love. It's really the only part I wanted to cover in that. But pursue love. Pursue it. Pursue it in your life. Pursue it in your family. Pursue it with your cousins, your uncles, your aunties. Wherever you work, pursue it. That means you have to go after it. When you're pursuing something, it doesn't mean that I'm just going to sit back here and wait on others to love me. Aren't I so pretty? Aren't I so glorious? Aren't I so whatever? I just want people to love me. No. You got to pursue it. You pursue Christ, right? Man, we're called to pursue Him every day. We're called to go after Him. Imitate me, as Paul said, which imitated Christ. So we're called to pursue that. Love is, without love, this doesn't exist, right? Kings doesn't exist without love. We don't exist without love. I'm carnal. I'm fleshly. Selfish. I only think about myself. I only think about the benefits of what would benefit me. See, the opposite of that is love. Praise God. Praise God. That's it tonight. I just, Minister, I want to pray for you. LaDonna, can I just pray for you real quick? I just felt like, is that all right?